221, Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us. Of course, you want to keep a close eye on your health. Go to the doctor, get checkups, investigate any problems. But there is such a thing as being too proactive about your health, and it could backfire on you. I talk about this with Matt Heimer, who edits the Encore blog at MarketWatch, and we started with women getting a lot of bone density tests.
As women get older, there's concern that they might be vulnerable to osteoporosis, which is essentially a disease that's characterized by weakened, brittle bones. Most doctors, though, think women don't need to be regularly tested for that until they reach around age 65. The problem is that at a much younger age, a lot of women are being screened for a condition that's called osteopenia. It involves low bone density, and it's sort of a pre-osteoporosis, but the vast majority of people who have that syndrome, have osteopenia, will never develop osteoporosis, but a lot of them wind up being prescribed drugs anyway, just as sort of a preventive measure, and a lot of doctors think that's unnecessary. The drugs can be expensive, and the drugs themselves have side effects that can be more uncomfortable than the disease they're supposed to be treating.
Another example of maybe being a little too proactive, PSA tests for prostate cancer. What's the story here?
The test for prostate-specific antigen, or PSA, it can indicate the presence of prostate cancer, but it also yields a lot of false positives. You can have an elevated PSA level and not even have prostate cancer. The problem is that often to find out which is the case, you need to undergo a biopsy, which of course is a surgical procedure, and like any surgical procedure, it has a risk of complications. There has been a relatively high incidence in the world of prostate biopsies of something going wrong in the process and someone having side effects like urinary incontinence or other kind of damage and turning out not to have the cancer at all. The other issue with prostate cancer is even if cancer is detected, some cases of prostate cancer, the tumors grow very, very slowly and they never grow to be big enough to be a real threat to the health and life of the patient. But if you're the doctor, you can't necessarily tell which tumors are going to grow quickly and which ones are going to go slowly, so your inclination often is going to be to treat it aggressively and, again, recommend surgery, even though that surgery may not, in the most black and white terms, be what the patient needs.
Now, back pain is all too common, and plenty of people in their 20s and 30s suffer from it, as do many older folks. Tell us about imaging tests for back pain.
The world of imaging tests is kind of exasperating one from a consumer finance perspective, because very often, once a doctor's office orders a big MRI machine, for example, or a CAT scan machine, they've now spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on a piece of equipment, and they've got to pay the bills for it. So there's a strong incentive to order tests in situations, whether you need them or not. And back pain, most experts agree, is a situation where to go for an MRI or a CAT scan is to go too far. Now, if there's actually a suspicion that you've got nerve damage or some serious kind of damage to the bone, that's a different story. But most of the kinds of acute back pain that bring a lot of people to the doctor have more to do with a muscle spasm or some kind of muscle strain, you know, the kind of thing that an MRI doesn't really do much to help. And the fact is that even if you spot an injury like that with an MRI, you're not really going to be able as a doctor to tell your patient to do anything other than rest up. That's something you could have figured out without spending $1,000 on the MRI.
That's one you can take for free. And
right.
Let's talk about EKG tests for heart disease.
EKGs are probably the most used cardiac test. This is, of course, that famous one that measures the activity of your heart as line tracings on a piece of paper or on a computer screen. An EKG is a helpful diagnostic tool in a patient who's experiencing chest pain or suffering other cardiac symptoms. The problem is, when EKGs are used in routine checkups or routine cardiac exams, they can also yield information that isn't necessarily helpful to the patient. A doctor who works with Consumer Reports kind of helped walk us through a scenario. EKGs can basically reveal abnormalities in your heart or in your heart rhythm that don't pose any kind of threat to your life in the long term. The problem is that once a doctor sees that abnormality exists, that doctor, out of a sense of caution, is going to be inclined to do follow-up procedures that are more invasive. It could be an angiogram, which essentially involves inserting a tube into your groin and threading it through blood vessels to your heart. And then information that an angiogram can unearth can put a doctor in the same situation. You might see, say, a slight narrowing of the arteries. Many, many people have a narrowing of the arteries and it never results in a health problem. But once a doctor has spotted it, that doctor is going to think, well, I should play it safe. I should do the right thing and be cautious and, say, order up a stent. What these tests have in common is this risk that you're treating something that isn't a disease yet, or isn't a health problem yet, to forestall the possibility that it might become a health problem down the road. Sometimes that's the right decision, sometimes it's a little more questionable. But the point is that in many cases you have people getting more information than they want from a medical test and then confronting decisions like this. So that's why our message in this article is really use caution and proceed very slowly.
That's Matt Heimer. He edits the Encore blog at MarketWatch, and our talk is part of
Money News, every half hour at 25 and 55 on WTOP.